Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. How's it going, everybody?
It's Friday.
That is Fran Mirabella, if you're listening with your ears.
Yeah, your earballs.
Yeah, and Jose's also here.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's great to see you guys again. Today.
Oh, I still am. I'm not moving this arm.
For those of you watching, Jose's had a modified arm attachment. It's an upgrade that he got in the last month.
He's big boss around the office.
New gauntlets. But he's terrible works. Terrible roll.
Yeah.
Bad RNG drop for Jose, I guess. I thought it was cool.
Thank you for joining us, everybody listening, and both of you. Today we're going to talk about No Time to Explain.
Okay, we're going to move on from that topic. Sorry, I had to get it out of the way. No Time to Explain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's not Fran, that good. I'm sorry.
So anyway, today our topics are the No Time to Explain quest or just gated quests in general and how we feel about them. How could he be improved? Because we feel he's a little less exciting now when he comes to the tower.
That's what you're saying. That's up for discussion.
That's true. That's up for discussion. And with the Destiny 2 news, which we'll discuss a little later, or the supposed news, we're going to say what we want Destiny 2 to be.
Awesome. Finish.
So let's start. Let's go back to what I don't have time to explain about. Jose, you brought up a great topic, and why don't you lay this out for people a little bit?
Oh, sure. So this week, probably 2 days ago, the No Time to Explain quest line sort of started. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, it is an exotic version of the Stranger's Rifle.
Pulse Rifle.
It is a Pulse
Rifle. It's really good.
And with the Taken King and with 2.0, actually, behind the scenes, if you were to complete that quest again, rather than get a rare version of the Stranger's Rifle, they upgraded it to Legendary. And then No Time to Explain is an exotic version, which surprised me. But this was another example of a time-gated quest. So if you had already found the ghost shells, in the mission Paradox.
And then you ran it again.
Which takes place at the Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to run it again. So what would happen is when you loaded up the game. Yeah, yeah, you ended up at the tower and you had instructions to go see Future War Cult.
Now, let me ask you, was this before or after you completed the daily for the second time?
Well, I didn't complete Paradox before I got the quest. So I had completed it a few weeks ago.
Got it.
When it was discovered that these shells were there and that there was another alternate ending.
So the next time Paradox rolled around, you had the Future War Cult quest.
Yeah, I already had.
And that was get a thousand rep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it starts with the first
percent habit. Clarity, right?
Yeah.
A week and a half ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the daily, they discovered the three ghosts you got to fight, pray this ghost.
And then that opens a portal, and then you fight a whole different alternate ending.
Right, so you had to do it then, in the daily, just like Black Spindle. Yeah. And then what happened is it appeared on, what, Monday or Tuesday or something of this week?
It appeared this week, and so then basically you got a new quest line, which I'm forgetting the name, and I apologize for that. But
it's basically get a thousand rep with Future
War Cult. The first step, and then the second step is to do a certain thing, and it's probably 4 or 5 steps long.
And then eventually you go back in the vault.
Which is what I really enjoyed about it. So this whole time-gated quest system, I think is interesting. It sort of sets us up, I think, to impulsively jump on when a discovery gets made. Like, if you're someone who watches IGN or is reading Reddit constantly and finds, hey, we found these ghost shells, but then the trail goes cold, it might be in your best interest to try and do those as soon as they happen, because it seems like a few days later or a week later, someone flips a switch and this quest line will show up. And you, if you haven't completed it, you're not going to get that right now.
I waited because I thought the ghosts were part of all the new collectibles, and I wanted to make sure I captured all the ghosts at the same time. They're not. It seems like they spawn every time you do the quest.
Yeah.
And they're part of that alternate ending.
Yeah. You know, shout out to friend of the show, Nathan, because if he hadn't said, hey, let's just do this, I probably wouldn't have, and I wouldn't have gotten the rifle the other day. But I did like that the quest line eventually led you back to the Vault of Glass. Now, someone who played somewhat regularly in year one, I mean, we were constantly in the Vault of Glass because there was that exotic chest, and it was also a really good raid.
Exotic chest, and it was the only way to get to 30. You had to get the full gear set.
Initially, that's right. And then even after the expansions, it was just fun to run it. It was a very different experience than Crota. And it felt like it was still worth running back then, especially with House of Wolves when they had Etheric Light and you can still take something like Fatebringer or a weapon that you got there, a drop, and ascend that weapon and be able to continue to use it because the damage threshold got lifted. So it was just fun to be back there. It was fun to down Atheon. If you have Sleeper Simulant, oh my goodness, like kiss Atheon goodbye.
Yeah, Atheon goes through down in one round.
One round, done.
Level 30 boss. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
And then you get this rifle. And then you have this rifle with a node that if every precision shot apparently can be returned to the magazine, which is... Mm-hmm.
It's like basically bad juju without having to...
I like that you almost called it black juju.
We're going to get that eventually.
Yeah, we're going to get black juju. But no...
It's like the sniper, Black Spindle.
That's why I made the mistake.
Yeah, but how do you guys feel about Gated Quest though right now? I feel like we talked about this before, but I want to revisit it because this is the second or third, like just the showed up. Did you do it today? If you did, you got something.
So with Black Spindle, that was cool. It was a daily you got to run through and you could complete it that day. It didn't like open up a whole sub quest line or anything like that. You just got the weapon with what was the
Sleeper Simulant.
That was kind of interesting. What were the steps with that one? I don't remember exactly.
Oh, I'm forgetting.
That
right
quest
now.
Shows up, which is it Rasputin's? I didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
But the quest shows up to go to Rasputin's lair or whatever.
Yeah, you basically had a day to go to Rasputin's lair. It got kicked off if you found all the rifle
parts
and gave it to the gunsmith.
And then randomly it would show up.
Yeah. Which is similar actually to this one. This one you needed to turn in those shells.
So this one I don't like. I don't like how this one works because have to have done the mission before. We had no idea what those ghosts were. You collect them, you do the alternate route, and then the trail just goes cold until it's the daily again, and then the quest pops from Future War Cult. It's just confusing, like why they decided to do it like that. And another thing, I really don't like the system introduced with year two, like with the gunsmith and getting weapon orders. It's like you put in your orders, they're gonna eat up all that inventory space for a week. Have fun.
Yes.
And it's just like, why do I have to wait a week? Why don't I wait? Like I could get a day, but a whole week? I don't like that.
So the week
that's a new
long,
mechanic they've introduced.
Yeah, I don't think I have a... I mean, this is slightly off the point, and I do want to address the first thing you
it
said.
Really
but, the fact that they take up inventory doesn't bother me, or that you have to wait a week doesn't bother me too much. I think the fact that they just take up space, that the orders themselves take up space in an inventory.
It's
a weapon that's on the way, and I get that you want me to remember that.
That's a separate topic.
Yeah,
but
separate. But going back to this time-gated business, I think it's okay, but I think Bungie is vastly underestimating the amount of the thought and how far players are willing to go to try and decipher some of these quests. And I think the idea of this being time-gated content that's slowly going to be rolling out, to me, kind of mirrors what happened with Nintendo and Splatoon, where the conversation kept going because every week a new weapon got popped into the rotation or a map showed up out of nowhere. And so people kept talking about it. That's this layer of excitement to it. However, I do think that they are underestimating. It shouldn't just be that. It shouldn't just be waiting for something to show up. I think they should give people the puzzle pieces and let them figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, there hasn't been any evidence of that in year two right now.
I agree with you, Jose. Yeah. I feel like time gating, it's kind of a dull and simple mechanic that, I mean, they're smarter than that. Like, they're better than that. And saying, okay, player, you have to wait X amount of time until something else opens. I'm just like, really? Like, that's the best you could come up with for this quest line? Mm-hmm.
So here's my challenge is, I actually think it's more of a problem with the quest than it is the time gate. Okay. And my example would be, wouldn't you all agree Black Spindle is actually good? Like, it shows
it's
up.
Great.
Yes, that's one of the ones I like. Big it's challenge exciting. It's challenging. Yeah.
So meaning, in terms of using the term time gate, like, it is time gate. You can only do it when it's showing up as part of the daily. Yeah. I don't mind that, actually. Yeah. Yes, I need it to show up on the weekend sometime, like, not just a Tuesday because I have a job. Like, they need to think about that stuff and get it in the mix right. So I like that. I don't mind that. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? As much as I need it, I kind of like the surprise. I do think there's a percentage of I don't like it because, you know, you're just trying to get through the raid and you could really use Black Spindle. I think it kind of sucks to have to wait maybe a week and a half. And if you're working that day or out with friends, you like might be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like,
we talked about that last time.
I like the surprise. But I definitely on the quest line stuff, like collecting calcified fragments, like ghost shells, but, and like I
the whole farming materials thing, it's just like that's a mechanic they admitted they don't like. So why are you using it again?
Well,
it
so
doesn't make sense to me.
I think it's an easy fallback, I have to be honest.
It is. Here's why. There's only so many ingredients in Destiny. Right? And they have shooting, right? And that is really why people play it, to shoot stuff. I mean, I don't – I like jumping on stuff, right? But if you go through the various things you can do, I like going to the tower occasionally. But I like shooting stuff. That's why Court of Oryx is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, even
that's
that
fun.
Needs a remix. But it's cool because it's a quarter drop, and it's go, go, go. And you just keep shooting stuff. And that's fun. Like, I use weapons. That's what I'm earning. Mm-hmm. But the problem with these quests for me is, like, they only have so many things they can make you do. And it's, like, not like I'm – it's not like Metroid Prime, right, where I'm like, oh, man, there's, like, that crack in the wall back in the Cosmodrome. Now that I have this rocket, like, I'm going to be able to shoot it with a friend who has, like, an ice version. And, I mean, it's not
no,
the
no,
time.
I hear what you're saying.
And, like, the sword quest, like, get void kills with a titan is just ridiculously trying.
So this is the problem. There's only so many things that can make you do to draw something out. And so to finish the point, I like the surprise element. And actually, even there might be something like November 20th that happens that is, oh, cool, a reason to come back. I like that philosophy. What I don't like is the mechanics that they have to use. I would rather go to the Court of Oryx and have to use my icebreaker or something. Like, that's something I will happily do because it's fun to shoot stuff. And but not in a tedious way. Like, don't draw it out too much.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's my feeling.
Like, no, go to the moon and collect stuff for 2 hours to get a sword. That's not it's memorable, but not in a good way. Yeah. And they want your quest for exotics to be something you remember, and you're like, oh, remember that crazy adventure I went on? And not remember when I ran in a circle and collected helium filaments for 2 hours?
Luckily, there's not much. Yeah. There's not many examples of that. But I think the hurdle for them is that it's happening.
It's one of the
at
best
a portion of the game when it's one of the best weapons in the game, and that's why it becomes a point of contention. Like, if this was just a forgettable, you get a legendary. I don't think any of us would mind, but just talking about a legendary, an exotic sword, which at the end of the day, everyone really wants.
Yeah.
So I agree with Fran that the time gate system is a cool way to surprise people. I just think the things you're doing during some of it isn't very surprising or just feels very sort of dumbed down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to see them get experimental with stuff. I want to see, like, okay, maybe four of you have to go to a specific spot and dance. Like, I want something weird.
Yeah.
I want something that you
that's
got a
bad
clue and you have to put things together. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sparrows are also hugely neglected, I feel, in Destiny.
They didn't introduce the racing. They didn't introduce sparrow racing, which is something we asked for some of the patrol missions, which was nice. It's nice that they thought of that.
Yeah, it still doesn't... at least for me, it doesn't line up as a track or a course would. And I'm not asking for that, but I am asking just to kind of continue to find smart ways to experiment outside of things, and also, you know, find ways to pull more relics into the experience. I feel like even that's not there enough.
I think a final thought on that is gated quests are interesting. We kind of like them. We feel like they just need a little tweaking. You know, like there's a few missteps and they could be adjusted to be a little better.
Yeah, remember, it's a double-edged sword. Like, we didn't like...
I have to get my... sword gets introduced, I have to go collect, void kills.
And... That's right. But but remember, we did not like going an entire year, and I knew someone who played, like, I don't know, 1,000 hours. Didn't get Galahorn. You too. It took a long time.
You pointing at me?
That's awful. That's awful. So now, on a Tuesday night, you've been dying to get it.
I got it now, but yeah.
The point is, they've introduced something, like, with Black Spindle. I like that. But at the same time... it kind of sucks that I want Touch of Malice or whatever, but now I'm like collecting all these calcified fragments and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not fun.
To upgrade it, so, you got to get Hadium Flakes.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then I got to go for the Hadium Flakes. So it's too much.
Moving
Figure
on.
Something else out.
Moving on to our next topic, we're going to talk a little bit about Xur and how he could be improved now. Now, my issue with Xur is that he's not exciting like he used to be. Like when he came to the tower, he had inventory that would kind of get you excited. It's a little bit exciting now if you haven't gotten the right drop, but
No what? Land Beyond was exciting. No, I'm sorry.
No, yeah. How could we make him better in year two? Because right now he basically sells parts and he sells low light level gear. Like
I'd like to see him change his wardrobe.
So I think he always sold those parts, but I think what is diminishing his value is that when you're loaded up on three of coin, he's not bringing the kind of exotics that are going to really draw your attention. And at that, they're at 10 points less in value.
Yeah.
I think that has, in some way, completely undermined Xur. Because the exotic
totally
game in Destiny Taken King has been improved so that everything's achievable. But then the guy who's coming in with the rare stuff isn't really bringing stuff that is... Like, if he brought in exclusive wares that only Xur could bring,
yeah,
maybe that would reintroduce some excitement. But right now, he's bringing in, you know, Mask of the Third Man.
Legacy Engrams for Legacy 31 Engrams. Strange Coins?
He's also
That's
not
really
selling
an
exotic shards, which is a problem because sometimes you do want to just grab or infuse an exotic weapon, and you can't do that because there's no shard economy you can get outside of, I got a lower tier item or a lower valued item, and I have to shard that to get an exotic shard. I think that's a huge misstep on their part because it makes part of the exotic infusion and exotic acquiring exotics kind of frustrating.
Yeah, Xur is totally antiquated. Like, it's too easy now, I think, kind of. You are running out of strange coins, but it's a little too easy. I think this is where it stems from. And so they don't want to just sell the exotics in there because they feel like, oh, it's just too easy. But, like, that's where it is. Like, your point was really good, Jose. Like, 280 for, like, Xur.
Yeah, strange.
Like, so wait, my only solution, like, by the way, I'm dying for a 300, like, or 310 heavy, like, dying for it. And all I can do is raid. I have no other solution, really. Like,
yeah, they're like, we want multiple solutions, and the only solution is to raid again. It's like you're making the same design mistakes.
And that's, like, requiring to go in with six people, et cetera. And Xur only shows up for a few days, so throw me a bone, you know? Like,
But I do want to say that I think the thinking behind Xur is that they are throwing you a bone, that this character will show up with an exotic. Like, I think for us, it's a letdown because we are constantly playing the game. But I think that Xur has somewhat transformed into an element of Destiny that is for people who are not playing every day.
Yeah,
I think
some of the younger Guardians in the office
kindergarten
are really
excited.
That's
why it's antiquated. It no longer works for us, really. Like, last week works for me. I wanted Hereafter. I was actually really happy with that. You know, we gave him a lot of crap last week for those who already had Hereafter or didn't like it or whatever. But that was actually a pretty good lineup. I got the Warlock had a good week last week with him. But it's the only one since the release that I felt that it was strong.
Well, and he's also, like, for example, this week, I think this only affects me, but he has, for example, an exotic chest, I believe. It's not Legacy. That is straight up like an Engram you can get from him.
Yeah, it's an exotic chest.
The classes in Destiny, at least this time around, there aren't a ton of exotic chess pieces. So, like, I have all the
armor things for the Titan. I'm missing one chest on my Warlock, the cool one.
I just think so. I would say to bring back some freshness for Xur, I think he just needs items that will not drop in the world. I think something that. Or a handful of items that only Xur
something
can
truly
bring you.
Unique, like your specific Xur specific
item. And some people may balk at that, but I do think that it is all I'm buying from him is three of coin. I check his inventory, and if it's something,
you got nothing, three of coin.
That's the irony, right?
Yeah.
Like you were getting at it before. Like you're way better off like doing three of coins. So if anything, you just need to buy a bunch of that and then go away from Xur.
Exactly.
That's the only thing he's good for.
Yeah.
Not the only thing.
Yeah,
but
Xur. Why are you even here? Man, just give me my three coins.
Nine, your worm face.
Yeah, and bring back the exotic shard. Let him sell it for motes. I think that I need those shards. I know that the kiosk has made it easier to acquire exotics because if you have the legendary marks and you have, you know, the currency or whatever's required, you can have that. But I do think that shard economy is somewhat just not good right now.
So I want to go back to where I still think it really stems from, though, is the light level as well. Like, I mean, I guess I take back that maybe it's just that it's too easy to get. I think the light level for us, like when you think about it, like I have no reason to buy, you know, whatever the helm today. Like it's a great Warlock helm. It's the Ahamkara.
But you have it. Yeah.
Well, I have the year one.
So you can just buy it for marks.
But that's the point. It's a 280, and I need more light level for the hard raid. I have no incentive to do it, but I think if he was selling 310s, now I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. You really think, though, he should sell 310s? Wouldn't that be
This is the question.
Now that the light level 300? Is 320.
300,
how about
maybe.
A 302? Maybe. Or a 304? Like, do I have 305? Do I have 306?
Yeah. I think 300s would be okay.
But this is a big question. Like, he only shows up once a week with something that maybe you can buy. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a 3 of coins drop the other night, and it was, like, for the hunter, and I'm a warlock, and I was just like,
But then that's what you shard, and that's how you're getting shards now.
Yeah. But I do
Infuse it.
But I would like to throw out there, and Destin, tell me if you'd rather talk about it in another episode, but don't you guys just have a ton of legendary marks that seem like there's not much to do
because
of the light level?
Not after Iron Banner. Okay. I actually was struggling to get enough to buy the sidearm, and I got it like at the last second, and then I went into play again, and I never got the character-specific class items, which was really frustrating. They actually said it was a bug. Which was
a loot drop.
It was a loot drop bug.
Nightfall, similar bug, right?
That was Lars saying that, so, I mean, he knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in Iron Banner, you were not getting the legendary drops that you deserved.
No, I buy the pulse rifle. Guess what I got for my next two drops? The pulse rifle, and I could have used those coins to buy the class items on my other character. Yeah. Iron Banner was really not good
How many hours did you play before you were using those marks on Iron Banner?
Well, you have to get to rank 5.
That's right. How many hours is that?
Well, so I played a lot the first day, and then I played the day before last, and I went to 5 like that.
Was it like 5 hours or 10 hours?
Probably 5.
Okay. That's actually not bad. It's a little faster.
Don't forget the rep bonuses help, the daily bounties help, the weekly bounty help. Like, I feel like, as someone who hasn't played Iron Banner before, let's call it five.
Yeah.
I will say I got to 5 relatively fast.
But my point
if you played near the end, it went crazy fast.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And but I didn't get to get in. My point is, I'm running around the tower now looking. Well, I already know what's there, but I'm wanting to buy like a 300 heavy, and I can't. And so I have to play Iron Banner for 5 hours. My better solution is to go into the raid and cross my fingers. I mean, for shorter time. So
yeah,
get through
that
90 minutes
like,
or whatever. But that's my problem, is I really just need like a heavy, and I have no solution.
Well,
I have 200 marks. I can't do anything with them.
The Crota raid was great because it had a smart drop system, as they said. So it had a higher chance to give you something that you wanted.
You mean?
Crota.
You're talking about Crota's End in Dark Below?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that raid, when you went through, you almost always got at least one thing you wanted. You know, it was a pretty good system. I remember getting everything I needed there pretty fast. With the new raid, I'm getting a lot of duplicates. Duplicates have a lower light level.
Actually, yeah.
You know?
So, I've run the raid now 5 or 6 times, I want to say. Maybe 5.
Yeah.
And completed. And the first 2 runs were magnificent. Like, I was getting either things I didn't have or things at a really high level.
Same returns.
Yeah. And then every run since has been the Moldering Shards disappointment hole. And I just.
Oh,
I'm
and
still
why does he
fun.
Take your Moldering Shards and give you nothing? Like, why is that a roll option?
Well, and that's where I wanted to take it. I think one thing we have not talked about on this show is that the raid, King's Fall, is fantastic. And I'm so glad to play Heroic
really
this weekend.
Raid.
Yeah.
But the drop system at the raid right now is really disappointing. And I'm still having a great time because I try not to just put I don't value my time in Destiny by the drops that I'm getting. I also value the co-op time by, hey, I'm having a good time with my friends. Like, that's how I evaluate at least the kind of fun I'm having. But I shouldn't be running through the raid 3 times in a row and be surrounded, including myself, by disappointment.
Yeah.
Because we're like, man, we downed Golgoroth faster than we ever have.
Yep.
And everyone just got Moldering Shards for it. And I was what?
To reel it back into the topic at hand, we're talking about how to improve Xur. We're talking about the raid because Xur's really not that interesting. The raid is really the only way to get your 310s.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And up your gear.
And that's why I mentioned the marks, right? I feel like I have only the solution to go into the raid and cross my fingers. Mm-hmm. And now, like, to get to the heroic raid, like, I'm just not ready for it, and there's not much I can do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to spend 10 hours again, like,
Hoping to get... I'm at like 305 max light. That's my max light. So I might be able to do heroic on one of my characters. All my alts are like 300, 301.
Nice. This, yeah. But the point is, and congratulations for all you out there being like, that's so easy for me to get to 308.
Yeah. Like, no, you're just you're lucky. There. You're lucky. It wasn't skill. Yeah.
Some of it's luck. Some of it is people...
Hey, let's keep the gloves above the waist.
Sorry. Some of it is people spend a tremendous amount of time. But yeah, I'm not there because I never got my heavy drop. And it's just been like several raids now that I just didn't get it. The point is, it goes back to like year one kind of complaints that I've always had. Like, I can't just sit down and know that in 6 hours or seven, that if I spend it, that I can go join the raid.
Yeah.
The heroic raid.
And like, there's only one avenue to get those 310s. It's the raid.
So wait, to pull us back to Xur for a second, is anyone using the material to reroll their gear?
No.
The
glass needles. I bought it, but I have no reason to use it.
Why not?
I have good rolls on my gear.
Okay.
You know?
Same problem?
I have had no interest in doing that right now. Okay. Like, I think it's great mechanic. But, like, that doesn't get me to 310. You see the problem?
Yeah.
So that's why it's, okay, great, my intellect's up
a
little more.
The quest for 310
it's real today. That's why I'm freaking out. I'm, like, I'm now serious, like, left behind. You know, it sucks. Yeah. Like, so anyway.
So.
Maybe what I can do is get in the hard raid and in the first drop, you know. Like, hopefully I get, like, a 310 or 20. Yeah. So we'll see.
But I think you're right in that they need another avenue for 300-plus gear.
They really
it shouldn't
they
just
do.
Be the
they do.
They absolutely do.
It's the same mistake as year one with Vault. Yeah, it's the same problem.
Yeah.
It's just with light level as opposed to getting the boots.
And that was my, you know, beating a dead horse here, but the legendary marks is a problem. Like Iron Banner, you know, is one thing and that's great, but it's sort of, right, it's a timed event. Like I shouldn't be walking around.
And all
around.
The gear's low. Yeah.
I shouldn't be walking around with 200 legendary marks. It's actually the first time I've capped in the time
See, that's
I've had
so
to
interesting.
Play.
And you can't even spec a good multiplayer loadout because you're probably wearing PvE gear, you know?
Yeah. It's
really weird.
The point is I don't have a bunch of raid gear to infuse these weapons with. Like, I would use them, but like my problem is light, so I need a light solution.
Anyway, we kind of got off topic there. So let's,
that was a good topic.
It was. Let's move on, though, to the really exciting one. What do we want from Destiny 2?
Mm. So based on
the Kotaku article about
the messy history.
The messy story
behind what happened with Destiny and the story reboot, it's definitely seems like a well-researched piece. Six people talked off the record about what happened over at Bungie. You should definitely check it out. And
out of that, we heard Destiny 2 is coming next year.
Yeah,
probably in September.
Yeah, or at least these sources claim. It's unknown if these sources are still with Bungie or if that roadmap has changed. So definitely want to attach that caveat for you. Yeah. This doesn't mean Destiny 2 is next year.
That's always been my vote.
Yeah.
So
marketing wise and everything, next year sounds perfect for Destiny 2.
Okay.
But they strip stuff out of even Taken King, retooled it. Some of these things now they're saying are coming later. But these, again, all sources.
The biggest bummer to the story for me, just really quick, is that I feel like a lot of details regarding what the story was were included. And if any of that was planned to come within the next few weeks, I just feel like this was the biggest spoiler like in the world. Like I knew this story would eventually hit the internet one day. Like what happened? I just never expected it this soon.
This soon,
Still props to Kotaku for pulling that off. Yeah. You were going to say, Dustin, sorry.
Yeah, so the topic we're going to talk about is what we want from Destiny 2 based on the story about the unfortunate stripping out and repurposing of the story, which is just a mess. Like, really read the piece. So wipe the slate clean. What do we want from Destiny 2? I think the easy answer is a good story. You have the basis of lore now. So let's say the story is true and they really did mess up everything. So Destiny 2, you have a chance to make it right. You know the lore that works with your community. You know what gets them excited. Really knock it out of the park with your core narrative for Destiny 2.
That's your number one, huh? I still don't get the big story upset. I love stories and games and all, but
they have gameplay.
It is like one of the most talked about things with Destiny, and you're right. It kind of has been a disaster. But that does not make the gameplay better for me, not by a huge margin.
They have the gameplay. The core gameplay of shooting and getting stuff is pretty good.
Yeah, I just want to interject with we did get a good story in The Taken King, and I think that's just a sign of the future. So let's take good story as a given, right?
That is what Destiny's
saying. Let's say that's out of the picture. what about the game do you really want to see like fixed or changed?
My problem
we
with
talk
this,
about this game all the time.
Honestly, my problem with this conversation is this is potentially a year away. So you can tell me, we can say what we want in two, but are you sure you want it in two and you don't want it by January? So that's my challenge to you with what your ideas
are.
I want a better story in two.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So we should really be looking forward to my point because I have all these things that they need to fix with Taken King because it's really far away what we're talking
about. Taken King, though, the problems with Taken King are a bunch of little things that high level players just, it drives them nuts. Like gated quests, oh, why do I have to wait a week? Yep. Or like, why doesn't Zur have 300 light? Why is my light system all weird again? You have the same problems as Vault Year 1, you know? It's all these little things that us as high players recognize. I'm talking clean slate. They're building a new game. How do you make it a better experience start to finish?
Yeah, and
for me, the core is narrative. Mm-hmm. You already have the gameplay. I mean, that doesn't really need to be adjusted too much.
I totally disagree with that.
You know, I think
totally want all these fixes with the gameplay. That's my point. But
so on the gameplay mechanics side, what do you feel needs to be tweaked?
Because we still just have like Strikes, Crucible, and Raid.
Yeah.
Once you're sort of done with the story, like that's all you have left. Mm-hmm. Prison of Elders was a good idea, but you saw it didn't. It didn't quite work out.
It's an activity that is useless to
And that's why
those
Corn
are activities. I'm talking about core gameplay.
That
though.
Is core gameplay for me.
Gameplay like shooting, how jumping feels, how supers feel.
Gameplay
all
mechanics.
All that stuff feels great. You're talking about staples like activities.
No, I mean, it's everything. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is a big conversation. That's my point. You need to retool something completely. Mm-hmm. Like add flying from planet to planet in the game. Or,
where you do something.
But my point is it needs to be really big, but the reason I brought Prison of Elders is because like I like Court of Oryx and all. It's pretty limited. Like I would love to see a really big solution to a three-person or even a two-person mechanic. Mm-hmm. Like give me something to do without having to constantly search for too many friends. Like that's missing from the core of this. I don't think we'll solve that this year.
Raid matchmaking, maybe something or a solution
we're
for
not coming
that.
Back to that
not that argument. A solution for that problem, and it is a problem. It's a problem when your community wants something so bad that they make the tools for you.
Yeah. My only point is. Yeah. And you guys can feel free to disagree. There isn't enough to do, ultimately. They really do need to introduce some big, big stuff. Like you were talking about even being on your Sparrow. There's plenty to do,
but I know what you're saying. You're saying you want more variety in activities.
There's plenty to do, but you're repeating all the stuff over and over again. I love Trials. I love Iron Banner. I'm not saying those things aren't good. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's ironic that I'll be like, I don't have enough time to do all this stuff. Like, wait for me. Fix the light level system. But at the same time... Yeah. I kind of just want to hop on for 30 minutes, go in, do something. And like that's where if
you
I'm doing
do
that
strike.
Today, exactly. I'll play a strike that I've already played
and get
and
nothing
it's fun
for it.
And get nothing for it. Yeah. And that's where you really need to think about it. I agree that the story make it an awesome big thing. I didn't want to say don't. But that's where I think we need to put our hats on and continue this conversation, you know, as we continue Fireteam Chat over.
What
the,
about you, Jose?
Oh man, I've been thinking this entire time you two have been talking. I think social spaces still don't have enough value. I feel that with the Taken King, the Reef completely felt like a place you didn't need to go to. Yeah. And for good reason. I mean, Trials got suspended. But even and Prison of Elders didn't really get sort of an upgrade with the last update or with the, you know, with the Taken King. I feel that they're in this sort of inevitable problem right now where when an update comes out, you know, the prior updates get kind of left behind. And I think that can be standard and a big problem for other games. Maybe it's a problem in World of Warcraft. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those spaces should have value and you still want the variety of those activities to mean something for people at the end game level.
If you come in at Taken King, you have no reason to play Vault or Crota.
Yeah.
No reason to.
Well, you do with No Time to Explain because you're trying to get that gun.
True.
But that's the only reason you have to play it. There's no reason to go back in there. And I get also this is not a counter to like, hey, letting go of year one weapons and, you know, that certain weapons don't make it all the way to the top tier. Like, I'm okay with that. That's fine. But I do feel like social spaces are also just weirdly still isolated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you
like, I go there and I could see you dance and I could see you do these things, but... there's still not a ton of interaction. So what if we can kick a purple ball around? Like, I almost wonder, could they find some kind of social ways to get people going? Mm-hmm. There's nothing funnier in my mind, and this is going to sound completely ridiculous, but sometimes I just start these mini raves where I like run up to people, start dancing, and everyone will follow me downstairs.
What if there was a reward besides just the fun of it?
Well, maybe it doesn't have to be a reward, but there has to be more ways to interact on the social level in this game, and I feel like there's not enough of them. And maybe I'm not taking advantage of them. That's the other problem.
No,
but I just feel like there's no incentive to really get to know someone else.
We go back to the tower to decrypt engrams and pick up stuff from the postmaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then be like,
largely,
peace!
And get bounties. And then you're like out, or you literally stand there while your group is organizing. And that is the where there's problems. Sometimes you just want to do stuff on your own. And it's
what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to sit down because nobody's here yet and I have to wait.
Yeah, so you're not like interfacing with other people. We've talked about it in the past, Jose, like drawing more Nintendo references, which I love to do, obviously, but like the whole Zelda mini game system. Yeah. Like, what if you could just do stuff like together?
Like,
it could be a lot of fun.
This might be a poor example, but like Metal Gear is an open world game, but whenever you're visiting Mother Base, there are these trials sections that you could just kick off and like start shooting at these targets, and you get GMP, which is a resource in that game. I think you get GMP. Or you're trying to bring your time down. There's like leaderboards for that stuff.
You hear that, Bungie? We're asking for another stream of revenue.
No. There's way too much currency. Yeah. Too many currency changes. This is the weirdest government of all time. But I do think that more activities just that on a social level at least could give you, in a social space, can give you something. I think it is worth it. Right now the social experience and the social hubs are very isolated from all that.
Yeah, I'd love to run around and like test weapons like we've talked about before. And
like a test facility? Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'd be fun. Okay. Anyway, I know.
We're a little over on time. I do want to say one more thing about what I want from year two. I want exotics to be exciting again when you get them. I think the year one system, like, you were super excited when you finally got your Galahorn.
Well, that's because there weren't that many places to get them. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I'm not saying reintroduce that mechanic. I'm saying in year two, I have not been excited about getting any exotic. It's just kind of like...
Black Spindle.
Black Spindle was good. That was a really good example of how to get it. That was fun to do and get, and it will be very memorable. I want more experiences like that because right now there's like one, and I remember getting Galahorn, I remember getting Hawkmoon.
So I remember. So I think we should revisit this topic. I don't think we're done at the slightest. So I asked permission to revisit this
next
week.
Let's hit it up again.
And that was my earlier point, though. Like we haven't even talked about what we want to see from the DLC between because it's not announced, and so we're kind of skipping a step. Like,
well, they're using microtransactions to support that, so it's going to be free. But we'll talk about what we want from that. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all we have time for this week. Fran, you want to cover off on all the good stuff?
Yeah. As always, drop us a review wherever you're at. If you're listening on the podcast and online, make sure to be leaving comments. Get in there and support this community, the Destiny community. I hear too many people still saying, why are you playing this game? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you listening to this? Like, go away. Or listen, and again, I change your mind.
People that enjoy it, keep listening. People
don't
like it but still listen. You
just
know what?
Sour.
Just keep listening.
Don't
just
let
do whatever
them win
you
in the comments. Talk about all of this stuff together. That's the whole point of coming together on a show like this. So go do that. You can find us on IGN, Xbox One, PS4. Actually, I'll drop a little secret. Next Tuesday, we have something interesting happening, if all goes well, in QA of a new experience on IGN, Ways to Watch. But we'll talk more about that later, maybe chat with you about it.
Are we putting cams at people's desks again?
No. Absolutely.
I watched you tired.
The old, like, insider webcam.
Oh,
absolutely.
God, that was weird.
So, and thank you, as always, for everybody listening and supporting us. And we have House Party coming up. Do you want to mention
We do.
That?
It's live. It's sold out. But we're going to be recording it. We have some giveaways from Bungie. Thank you so much to Bungie for providing the blacksmith shaders, the t-shirts, the super hard to get edition of Taken King. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Cammy and Genevieve sent those over. So thank you.
November 14th.
November 14th. If you're in San Francisco, we'll be there. You can say hi after if you didn't get
tickets.
No,
I was going to bring that up.
It's a bummer that it's sold out.
It very often will go
It's sold
somewhere.
Out like that.
We'll go somewhere after. And maybe then we'll think about, can we like say hi somewhere else if you're around town. Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Friend Mirabella.
At Destin Legary.
At Jose_Otero.
Yeah. And that's it for this week, guys. Until next time, Guardians out.
Do it. Just do it, Jose. Do it, Jose. Come on. One day, get him.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.